All right, let's get started. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Title of the message this morning, we're talking about this guy in the Old Testament, name of Abraham. We're talking about him because Galatians is talking about him. So if you could turn there, that'd be great. Title of the sermon, The Man of Faith. The sermon series we're in is Galatians, verse by verse. The theme of Galatians is freedom, a heart set free. Last week, we looked at what is faith, and the title of the message was Rediscovering Faith, or discovering, really, what faith is. And this week, we're gonna continue in an argument that Paul is making. Paul is making an argument. He has a thesis. He has a case that he's bringing evidence to prove his case that salvation is by faith alone in Christ. And last week we looked at some evidence, and this week some more evidence. And so let me just read the passage and pray, and we'll get into it this morning. We've got five quick sermon points. We're having communion as well as a family of faith together. So here we go. Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Let's pray. Just bow your heads. Let's pray. God, we ask you this morning to do what we're not able to do. We're able to read this passage. We're able to sit still and listen to the sermon. But God, we want more than that. We want to be fed in our souls. We want to hear spiritual truth that will change our lives. And so God, would you do that? I'm not capable. Would you do it in spite of me? Do it by your word. Do it by your spirit. We are hungry to see Christ formed in our lives. So help us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians 3, 6 through 9, the man of faith. So the first point is this, and it's a little out of order because it's coming from verse 8, not verse 6. But you'll see why. Because I wanted to step back and look at this paragraph, verses 6 through 9. It's kind of a paragraph in Galatians. I wanted to look kind of at the big picture first. So catch this. Point one, Christians are to be Bible people. Christians are to be Bible people. Now you might say, well, duh. And of course you're going to say that, Matt. But I just want to show you. Look in verse 8 what Paul is doing here. He says in verse 8, and the scripture... And the scripture, you say, well, we're in the scriptures, right? But Paul, in the New Testament, is anchoring, giving as evidence what he's saying, scripture. He's saying, look, I build my faith on the Old Testament scriptures. I prove this case that I'm making on the basis of scripture. In fact, let me just make this point real quick. Last week, we talked about that Paul's making a case. He's presenting a thesis, okay? And the thesis is that salvation is by faith alone. It's not by works. It's by faith alone. And we're going to keep hammering that today. But listen, last week, verses 1 through 5, the argument was from experience. So have you had experiences in your life? Have you felt the love of God? Have you been through seasons where you felt that you knew that you were a Christian? Have you had experiences of the Holy Spirit? That's what Paul was talking about last week. And he was saying, look, based on that, I just want to show you that salvation is by faith alone. That was experience. That was chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Now, chapter 3, verse 6, all the way through chapter 4, verse 7, Paul's continuing the same argument, but he's now shifting it, and he's pulling evidence not of experience, the subjective, but of scripture, the objective. Here's why I'm making this point. Both experience and truth from the Word of God are very important. Amen? Absolutely. You have to have both. But one can change experiences, feelings. One never changes the truth of God's word. One must be tested. One has been tested by the greatest minds in human history for 2,000 years. One in Galatians is 5 verses. The other is 31 verses. One Paul gives more weight to than the other. Why? Because the other's not important? No. But just proportionally speaking, he wants to bank his faith on the authority of the Word of God. And we ought to do the same. And in fact, we should ask ourselves, does our Christian walk reflect that? What we base on our feelings and experiences, is that 5 verses or is that the 31 verses? You see? So let's prioritize the Word like this in our lives and like this in our church. Why should we? Again, the point is that Christians are to be Bible people. Well, really, we have to. Think about it. If all you have is experiences, then whose experiences are right? I mean, we're really kind of left to the dilemma of your guess versus my guess. Your insight versus my insight. Unless God has revealed himself and what it means to do his will, then we're all just making guesses. We can look at a sunset and a beautiful mountain range, and we can discern, and we can listen to our conscience, and we can discern that there is a God. But to really know exactly what he is like and what it means to do his will, we need more than that sunset. We need him to speak, and Christians believe he has spoken, and we have his word. It's like, you know, if you put a Rembrandt in front of an old man with no glasses on and he's going blind and he just sees a bleary image. He's like, what do you see? You're holding like a $5 million painting in front of him. And he's like, I don't know, colors, something. You give him spectacles and he sees it for what it is. And that is what it is like when we as Christians take the scripture and we let it be our lens. We let it be our authority over our life. We let it be the defining component of our worldview. This is so important. So Christians are to be Bible people. We don't just need to get in the Word. We need to get the Word into us. I love this quote. I'm going to show it to you. A British preacher said this of one of his friends, John Bunyan. He said, this guy, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. It's a classic, not just a Christian classic. Pilgrim's Progress, check it out. It's hard to read because it's Old English. It's like the King James. But look, someone's tried. Look, he says this of John Bunyan. Prick him anywhere. His blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text. For his very soul is full of the word of God. I commend his example to you, beloved. And so I just want to say here and encourage us, and this is me preaching to myself too, but let's be people of God's word. Let's not just get in the word, let's get the word in us. Let's really abide in the scriptures and not just be people that are living on a feeling, even if it's a good intention or a Christian feeling. But let's really anchor our faith in the Word of God. Christians are to be Bible people. All right, that's the first point. And again, that's just looking at the whole passage and kind of stepping back. So now we're going to step in to verse 6, and the point is this. Every person in heaven will be there because they are justified by faith. Verse 6, look at it, let me read it. Look down if you can. Please look down and see in your own copy of God's Word. I care so much about you and the relationship between your Bible. That's just what I'm so excited about right now. So, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, it might not be immediately obvious as you look down and see this verse and read it and think about it, but know that Paul is quoting the Old Testament here. That's what the quotation marks mean. He is quoting from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Let me just show you the whole passage in its context, verses 3 through 6. Here we go. "And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, Look toward heaven. Number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." Abraham's wife was 90, and he was 99. Abraham, despite circumstances, not in light of sort of positively trending circumstances, despite circumstances, had amazing faith in God in this moment. And the scriptures say in Genesis 15 that he believed the Lord, and it says, and counted it to him as righteousness. Counted what? Counted his faith as righteousness. And so back to Galatians. Paul is quoting Galatians or Genesis 15. What's he doing? Here's what he's doing. He's saying, guys, I have an argument to make. I have a thesis. I'm trying to prove it. And I talked about feelings and experiences last week in the first five verses of chapter 3. But now I'm going all the way back. Oh, no, I'm not going to Moses. I'm going further back. I'm going all the way back to Abraham, Genesis. And I'm going to show you that it's always been by faith alone. Always. Even Abraham, he believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Again, every person in heaven will be there because they are justified by faith. We're going to keep unpacking this. Who is Abraham? Abraham is a key figure in the Bible. He lived from 2166 to 1991 B.C., he lived to be 175 years old, and for the record, this is over 4,000 years ago. This morning, one of the things we're going to get to do in this passage is just realize how deep and rich of a faith we're part of. Abram was initially called Abram, which means high father. His name was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. So he appears in Genesis 11 and 12. He dominates the book of Genesis, chapter 12 all the way through chapter 25. We see his life. We see God call him in chapter 12. We see his faith reckoned as righteousness in chapter 15. We see God tell him, you need to take on a special sign that you're my people, and the sign of circumcision in chapter 17. We see him change his name. We see him have a son, Isaac, in chapter 20. We see him called to be tested and sacrifice Isaac in chapter 22. We see him die in chapter 25. This is Abraham in Genesis. You're like, I woke up wanting to know about Abraham. Thank you so much, Matt. He casts a shadow over the whole Bible. I mean, he's not Jesus, but he's a big character in Scripture. John chapter 8, Jesus has an argument about who the sons of Abraham are with the Pharisees. Hebrews 11, Abraham is one-third of that chapter about faith. Romans 4 and Galatians 3. And that's really where we are, Galatians 3. The point Paul is making is that Abraham was justified by faith before his own circumcision, that's Genesis 17, and long before the law of Moses, which was 500 years later. Point is, justification or salvation cannot depend on circumcision, that ceremonial or traditional or religious thing that people think that you need to do in their time, or keeping the law of Moses in any fashion. It's not based on that. It's based on faith alone. It always has been. It's never not been in the Bible. So let's recall something. Again, the point. Every person in heaven will be there because they are justified by faith. So let's unpack this for 1 second. Recall the definition of faith. Crucial definitions that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. The definition of faith, knowing of, believing in, and acting upon the person and promises of God. Faith, biblical faith, the idea of faith involves knowledge. You've got to know something. It involves believing what you know. You can't just know it like passing a quiz on it. You've got to believe it. And it involves action. You really believe it. You'll act on it. I'll give you an example. The first gold medal in the Rio Olympics was won by an American, Jenny Thrasher. She won the women's 10-meter air rifle competition with a score of 208, an Olympic record. She's 19 years old. She's from West Virginia, and she beat Du Li of China for the gold. This is about 33 yards she stands away from her target with her rifle. Amazing precision. Broke the Olympic record. Anybody watch the Olympics? Anybody? Just kind of check it out a little bit. Some of you are like, no, of course not. I was reading my Bible. Listen. Olympic record. Rifle, precision, sniper, 19-year-old girl. Amazing. First gold medal in the Rio Olympics. You're like, she doesn't miss. People were cheering. People that never have heard of this sport were getting all excited, putting stuff on social media about this girl. Hey, so if you're so excited about her, and you want to say she doesn't miss, she's so accurate, here's an apple. Put it on your head and go walk 30 yards away from her and stand there and show us that you really believe she doesn't miss. You say, no, she might miss. All right, you don't really believe. That's faith. It's knowledge of, it's belief in, and it's acting upon the person and promises of God. That's a biblical understanding of faith. It's not just believism. It's not just sort of welling up a feeling of faith like a sort of thermometer at Disneyland, and when it gets to a certain point, the confetti goes out and the music starts playing. That's not what it is. It's knowledge of, belief in, and acting upon the person and promises of God. But again, this point, every person in heaven will be there because they are justified by faith. So we just talked about faith. Now recall the definition of righteousness, of being justified. It means to declare righteous, to put right with God. It means to be right with God. So it's like if I come to you and I say, hey, we're good, we're right, we're just, we're on good terms. To put you right, to say everything's okay. That's what it means. To be declared righteous, to be justified. Here, note this. Justification does not change the person justified yet. It doesn't change anything fundamentally about them. It just changes their status. Let me give you an example. If you are driving in your car and you're speeding, you're driving double the speed limit, okay? And a police car pulls out behind you and starts following you. And you're like, I got to keep going. I can't stop for this guy. And so you keep speeding. Police officer finally gets you to pull over by kind of cornering you and getting you to sort of veer off the highway. Comes up to your car, gun pulled. Get out of the car. You get out of the car. He says, what are you doing? You're driving double the speed limit. Have you not seen my lights? I've been behind you. What are you doing? You're endangering so many lives. And you say to the police officer, sir, my child, I just scooped my child up off the bottom of our pool. And he or she is unconscious. I'm driving her as quickly as I can to the hospital. And the police officer gets back in his car, turns his lights on, gets in front of you and says, follow me. Now, were you still speeding? Yes. Were you still running from a police officer? Yes. None of that changed. Your behavior, your actions, they all are the same. What changed is how the one in authority viewed you. And that's how justification is. When we put our faith in Christ, we don't become goody-goodies. We don't become perfect. We don't.
All that we really are hoping for when we put our faith in Christ is that the way God views us changes not based on our record, but based on the record of Christ. That's what happens. So this is the biblical sort of message of Christianity, that you got to have faith, the biblical faith we've been talking about, and that's how you receive righteousness or justification, which is God changing your status before Him. No longer seeing you in your sin or in your good works, which in His eyes are filthy rags, but seeing the righteousness of Christ. We sang about in Christ alone. That's the biblical message. So there's this phrase. It's a Latin phrase. And you might be like, oh my goodness, really? Seriously, Matt? Hey, look, calm down, okay? Like, some of you have like a Chinese character tattooed on you somewhere. You don't even know Chinese. You went on like Google, and you're like, what does love mean in Chinese? I want to get that tattooed. So don't get mad when I put a Latin phrase up. It's the second most educated city in the country. And really the reason I'm doing it is because we're part of something. We're part of this faith. And this is from the 1500s. This was a phrase that was very popular in the 1500s. And you read it like this: simul justus et peccator. And what it means is this: simul is where we get the word simultaneous. Justus is just. Et is and. Peccator is sinner. So what it means is simultaneously righteous and also a sinner. That's what it means. And that's the beauty of when we put our faith in Christ, we are made righteous in God's sight, but we're still sinners. We are simultaneously righteous and just, but also still sinners, and hopefully by God's grace, growing. So the question though here, and really the point that comes up from this point, every person in heaven will be there because they are justified by faith. I think the important question that we ask is this. We just have to realize that I think a lot of us think that in the Old Testament, people were saved by keeping the law. And they had never heard of Jesus, and so they had to keep the law. And then Jesus came, and then we learned about the gospel, and now we're saved by faith. But that is so far from accurate. That's what we see here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. That Abraham was saved by faith. He was saved by faith alone. He was made right with God through faith. I'll read this quote. It's not as if Old Testament saints were right with God on the basis of their works, while New Testament saints are right with God on the basis of faith. Paul argues clearly here that Abraham was justified by faith. Therefore, salvation is both in the Old Testament and New Testament by faith alone. There's only one way of salvation. Now, Old Testament saints, of course, looked forward to the promise, whereas New Testament believers look back on what Christ accomplished in His death and resurrection. But still, Christ's death and resurrection are the basis of salvation for all. So again, every person, if you go to heaven, if you have faith in Christ, you will. Every person you see there will be there because they are justified by faith in Jesus alone. No exceptions. Number three. Faith in Jesus is the common denominator of the family of God. So Paul's building this argument here. First, he quoted from Genesis 15. And he gave us that, believe God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And then verse 7, he's now going to preach that. So he's preaching Genesis 15 in verse 7. He says, know then, and that's an imperative, the word know. He's saying, I command you then, in light of Genesis 15 verse 6, to know that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. It is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. You see, these few verses we're looking at this morning really are about who's in and how do you get in. That's really what they're about. And Paul is making a case that those who are in are those who are of faith. And the way you get in is by faith in Christ alone. So faith in Jesus is the common denominator of the family of God. We talked about Abraham. Here he's saying it's those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So just think about this for a moment. Here's Abraham. He believed in Genesis 15. This is 4,000 years ago. And he put his faith in God, in the person and promises of God. And he's way back here. This is 4,000 years ago. And he is looking forward to promises made, but to him not yet fulfilled. It says in Hebrews that he lived as an exile and a stranger. It said he looked to a city whose architect and designer was God, to a country that was a heavenly country. Here's Abraham, this man of faith. He's looking forward to what God will do, but he has faith no less. All right? Here's all the saints in the Old Testament that had true faith. There's always false saints, right? There's people who put their faith in their works or in being good, but there's a lot of saints who had faith and were looking to what God would do, the Messiah, the promises that have been made but not yet fulfilled. They're waiting. They're hoping. And here's Paul. He's after the death and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and he's looking back at the cross, thankful for the promise fulfilled, thankful for what God has done. But it's the same thing that connects him to the person and work of Christ. Faith connects him. So he's looking at Christ, and then he sort of looks past and he sees Abraham back there. And him and Abraham, they're facing each other, and they're both looking at Christ. And that's us. See, here we are. We're here. And today we're going to do communion. And that's exactly what we're doing when we do communion. We're doing it in remembrance of Christ. We're looking back. And as we see the back of Paul because he's looking back. And then we see Abraham and he's looking at us and he's looking at Christ. But everybody, it's by faith. It's the common denominator. The only way you can add one third and the fraction of one half is if you come to the common denominator of six. And that's the point. By common denominator, faith in Jesus is the mandatory common denominator of the one true family of God. It's not a denomination. It's the common denominator of faith in Christ. So faith in Jesus is how you get in. It's what we do in the family of God. All right. Verse 8. The gospel for all nations has always been plan A, and God has no plan Bs. Look at verse 8. And the scripture, again here, Paul arguing his case from the Bible. Christians are to be a Bible people. He's building his faith, the Galatians' faith, and our faith on the word. He says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Verse 8, the gospel for all nations has always been plan A, and God has no plan Bs. Paul here is quoting again from Genesis. He's quoting from chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to read it to you. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said, got it? Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Again, it's amazing what, I mean, let's be honest. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 is amazing. Maybe you're not feeling that yet. That's okay. Look at it again. The gospel was preached to Abraham? You ever thought of that? That's what Paul's saying here. One faith. One main character of the Bible, God. One main problem in the Bible, mankind's sin and separation from God because of sin. One main solution in the Bible, the person and work and atonement of Christ on the cross in our place. One main way to connect yourself to that solution, whether you stand in 2016 or in 2016 BC, and that is by faith. One people who God has chosen to be his people, one multinational, multi-ethnic people, a very diverse people. From the beginning, that was the plan. The gospel preached to Abraham in the beginning that through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. It's really amazing. It's so beautiful when you think about it. How the gospel for every nation has always been plan A. And we're just getting to be a part of it. Creation is the theater of the glory of God. We're in the drama of redemption. Abraham had a part to play, and he played it. Paul had a role to fill, and he filled it. Do you know your part? What is your part? What will your legacy be? The gospel for every nation, plan A. Point five on our last point. God blesses men and women of faith regardless of their past. Verse 9. The question really raised here in verse 9, and I think the people that Paul's arguing with, the false teachers in Galatia in the first century, they're saying, well, the Gentiles, they're not the sons of Abraham. They don't get to enjoy all the blessings that God promised to Abraham and to God's people. And that's not for them. That's for us. That's for those who follow the law. That's for those who are circumcised. That's for those who have a brown bracelet on, who are Jewish. That's for us. And Paul's saying, no, it's for those of faith. And Abraham only has children who are children of faith. People who are like him, people who have faith in God alone. And it's those people, no matter what their background is, whether they were a Gentile, like all of us, whether they were a Jew, whether they were a total awful sinner, whether they were a goody, two-shoe, sort of A-plus person, it doesn't matter. God will bless men and women of faith regardless of their past. Some of us may feel beyond God's blessing. You think, he's blessed me enough. Really? The blessing that God promises to Abraham, we're included in that if we have our faith in God alone. Ephesians 1 through 3 really points out how this blessing, there's no greater part of this blessing than our salvation itself. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So we are blessed. Men and women are blessed by God. He promises it when our faith is in him. And it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your past is before you're a Christian, and it doesn't matter what your past is as a Christian, and it doesn't matter what your past week was like. What is the step of faith for you? How do you realign your life with faith? Knowledge of, belief in, and action upon the person and promises of God. God promises to bless that. God blesses faith. Amen? Amen. We know that. We've experienced that. But we're not arguing from experience this morning. We're arguing from the Word. Again, our points. Christians are to be Bible people. Every person in heaven will be there because they're justified by faith. faith in Jesus is the common denominator of the family of God. The gospel for all nations has always been plan A. God has no plan Bs. And last, in the point we just looked at, God blesses men and women of faith regardless of their past. So where did I get this sermon title from? Abraham, the man of faith. I just want to show you one last thing. If you look at the end of verse 9, Galatians 3. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So that's his story. And I love that Paul gave us a personal illustration this morning. A man of faith that we can look at, that we can imitate. But what is your story? And I love Romans 4, and I want to show it to you on the screen because it challenges us to not just look at Abraham and his faith, but to really think about what is our faith. So I'm asking you, and look at these verses. But the words, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. So 4,000 years ago, when it was counted to Abraham as righteousness, his faith, and God spoke that righteousness over him, and we have knowledge of that, and we're applying that today, it wasn't just spoken for Abraham, but for us. And have we made it our own? Have we personally found ourselves in the story of the gospel? Are we hidden in the righteousness of Christ? Or are you exposed? Let's close in prayer. Some of the folks from the band are going to come back up, and some ushers are going to come help me set up communion. And this is just a time for us to respond. This morning, as we come to the communion table, and I'll explain what that is and what that means, but as we do that, it's a great way to respond to the truth this morning. Let me just pray real quick. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you for the truth that you have shared with us from Galatians, and we just thank you for the good news of the gospel. There is no other world religion even talking about being saved, being justified just by faith. Just by faith alone. Lord, it is totally unique, and it is amazing, and it is good, and it is great. And so we just thank you for your grace. And we just want to look back to the key moment in history when you showed your grace to us. And remember that this morning as we come to the communion table. And God, I just, this morning, I also pray for those here who may have just this morning realized, I'm not sure if I'm in. I just ask, God, that you would just do two things. Number one, that you would not let them forget that, but you would weigh that down on them. And number two, that you would show them that you welcome them. And that this is a place, this is a church where we want to help people take the next step in following Jesus. So Lord, I just pray you would do that. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.